I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I went down a rabbit hole of lists and comments from people who were all contributing to a conversation about the hard truths about life that people don't like to admit.
Oh.
And the only reason why I'm bringing it up is because they're, believe me, everybody hates life and everybody's so miserable. And this was the most depressing thing I've ever read in my life.
Oh,
however, there was an overwhelming number one, and that's the only reason why I'm bringing this up.
Okay, so
I'll give you a couple of them, okay? So again, these are hard truths about life that nobody likes to admit.
Yeah.
Not all parents love their children is on the list.
Okay.
Wow.
There's no such thing as a soulmate is on the list.
Oh, damn.
Even though you think your kids are special, they're probably just average is on the list.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What?
Just because someone's related to you doesn't mean they're a good person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's facts.
There's people in your life that you know and probably consider a friend that you mean less to than their phone.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That hurts me so much.
Okay. The second most one listed was looks matter.
Uh-huh.
Again, these are hard truths in life that people don't like to admit. But the overwhelming number one, and I think that this was overwhelmingly number one because people could comment on this anonymously. The overwhelming number one answer about the hard truths about life that nobody likes to admit is sex is overrated.
Oh, come on. What?
Yeah. No, I can't.
Tell them more.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah. Can you change my voice? Can you do something to my
voice? Yo, you answered that so fast,
no,
bro.
No, think about it. Think about it. Think about it. And you guys could all agree.
Do you want to call in right now so you don't sound like you, Maury?
Oh, can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
In just a second.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You have to create a new identity.
Make sure you turn your microphone off.
Okay, and use a different name.
Yeah. Turn your microphone off, and then we can have this conversation with not you.
Uh-huh.
I need you
openly.
Because I need you to be honest.
Maury. Hi, Roz and Mocha.
Yeah, I just heard Roz is number one. I got to agree. Sex is really...
Why are you echoing right now? What's on in there?
Nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
So
anyway.
Again, number one on the list was that sex is overrated. Sir, do you agree with this?
I completely agree with this. I mean, if you think about it, it's a lot of work for zero payoff.
Wow. Zero payoff.
Wow.
Zero payoff.
Like, if you think about it, like, you know, it's like a little bit enjoyable in the moment, but then what?
Oh, wow. Okay. So, but here's the thing, because we can all see each other in this room. There's nobody in this room that is going to agree that sex is overrated.
No,
right?
Never,
no.
Never,
wait,
never,
no,
never.
Can somebody agree with me?
Okay, so Mocha,
no,
do you
it's
agree
not
sex
overrated.
Is overrated?
No, Shem? Absolutely not.
Hell to the no.
Deepa, newlywed?
No.
Me? I'm going to say no. I don't think it's overrated. I don't know where Maury went, but you on the phone, are you here, Maury?
I don't think it's overrated at all.
Okay. Let's go.
What? I thought Maury would agree with me.
Okay, so anyway, it's 925-555, and
wow.
You do not have to. I just want to see how many people legitimately agree with that, that one of the hard truths about life is that sex is overrated. Also, looks matter. We all know that. but that sex is overrated because I think that you will get more yeses than no. I really, really do. I just think that in a group of people like this, we're of course all going to say hell no.
Yeah. I mean, hell no.
No! Okay.
Run the show. Okay. Ron is my favorite.
Okay, thanks, Maureen. I mean, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, shoot us a text. It's 925-555.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So we're talking about the hard truths in life that nobody tells you. And there is some great input from people who, like, that came from real honest places. Like, you know, although you may think your kid is exceptional, they're probably just average. There's another one on there that cuts real deep, which is you probably have somebody in your life that you consider to be a friend that you mean less to than their phone.
That one really hurts.
Looks matter. Mm-hmm. We've all heard that. And then number one, the reason we brought this up, because it was overwhelming on people who had contributed to this, that the number one thing on the list of the hard truths in life that nobody ever tells you is that sex is overrated. And of course, we all in this room were like, hell no. But if you could be anonymous, either giving us a call or shooting us a text, I know that people are going to be far more honest when they don't have to say who they are or who their partner is.
I was honest.
Maury was honest.
Let me get through some before we get to this phone calls.
Maury said it's a lot of work for very little payoff. Like, that's like some
truth. You have to turn off the TV.
That's some truth right there. Wow.
925-555. Some of the texts that we're getting. For someone who hasn't had sex in a very long time, definitely not underrated. Somebody else said, I agree, overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not overrated. It's one of the best things we as adults have that's free.
Amen.
For those lucky enough to have someone in their lives. Sex is not overrated. We've all had bad sex, but like life, the bad makes you appreciate the good.
Wow. Okay.
The people who say sex is overrated definitely aren't doing it right.
Wow. See, I disagree with that,
or
too.
Or aren't doing it with the right person.
I disagree with that as well. I think that there are a lot of people that maybe thought it was that you know, it's something that can fix things, and then you realize that it doesn't.
Somebody said with my husband, yes.
Oh no. Oh, come on. Now.
Wait, was that Matthew's phone number?
Oh, yeah, check that number.
Let me see.
Matthew.
I mean, then you have to dim the lights.
Could you imagine that's a one-time Matthew texted into the show?
No. He ignores all of our other phone calls. Everything. The off chance we get them, right?
Everything.
416-870-8888 is our number. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I completely agree with Maury. Sex is completely overrated.
Wow.
Making love is a different story. That's okay every time to time, because you still got to show your partner you care about them. But sex, I completely agree. So much work for, like Maury said, little payoff.
Oh, damn. Somebody texted, by the way, you don't have to give your name, but somebody texted and said zero payoff, because that's what Maury said, right?
Yeah.
Zero payoff, he's doing it wrong.
Yeah. Now, yeah, could that be the case with you on the phone, that partner related or no?
No, I guess I've just never had a sex drive, so I mean, that has something to do with it.
Right.
A lot of effort for, I mean, depends on where and the situation, who it's with. Is it a crush? Or is it just your husband or wife?
Just your husband. Just your husband.
Thanks so much for the call and the honesty.
No problem. Anytime.
All right,
good day.
Love.
Bye-bye.
See, I told you. I knew. As soon as people could be anonymous and they're not in this room, I knew we were going to get a flood of people who agreed that one of the hard truths in life is that sex is overrated.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Life is awful.
Oh, man, I am telling you, our phone lines and text lines are blowing up.
So we were talking about the hard truths in life that nobody tells you, and couple of them are just like just because somebody's related to you doesn't mean they're a good person. That's like a big one. That's a hard truth of life right there. One of my favorites was somebody had said, there's somebody in your life right now who you probably consider to be a friend that you mean less to than their phone.
I don't want to know who that person is in my life. That already breaks my heart, knowing that I could be that way to that one person.
But number one on the list, and the reason we're talking about this, number one on the list of the hard truths in life that nobody tells you about is that sex is overrated. And more people had said that than anything else. That, like, it wasn't even close. And we sort of pulled the room in here, and we were all like, no, hell no. But you know who we are. And you know who our partners are. And nobody's going to admit anything, although I truly don't feel that way. But we had said, I bet you if you're anonymous, we're going to get a lot of people who fully agree with that. I guarantee it.
And that's what's happening. 925-555. Sex is not overrated. I work in a building with 7 women, one being a lesbian, and we all agree sex is not overrated.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Sex is not overrated, reads another text. It's the only thing that makes us more than friends.
The only thing. The only thing. Maury said it's too much work for such little payoff. That was Maury's philosophy.
Somebody said, I'm just going to say it right now. More women will say it's overrated.
I agree. I agree with that 100%.
Oh my God.
Can you rate it or no?
Somebody said overrated. Had sex in my, no,
can't.
I can't. Yeah, I can't.
No, you can't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Turning red.
Yeah. The point of this is that she kept reading a book.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's, whoa, geez.
Somebody said, I agree with Tim Amore, zero payoff, been faking it for years.
Oh,
God. It's unfortunate that this is what everyone agrees with me.
Yeah, I know. This is when Maury nailed it. Like, everybody's coming out to support Maury right now.
416-870-8888.
I just want to say that if you've been married 30-plus years and you ask any woman my age, she'll say absolutely sex is overrated.
Mm.
Is that and I wish men would believe this. My husband does not believe it. He thinks I'm an anomaly. And I keep telling him, absolutely not. All women my age feel the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so are you, it's just not for you anymore?
Well, it once or twice a year, okay, but come on.
And you have a, look at Maury's clapping for you once or twice a year.
Please, as if it's happening that much, Maury.
And let's get it over with January 1st.
Wow. So it's like, geez. So
that's
it's,
how you ring in the new year, and that's it.
Yeah. So it's
that's
so,
it.
Like New Year's Eve, and maybe what, his birthday?
Yeah, okay, if he's been good.
Somebody just texted and said,
sex is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still kind of good.
Yeah, but not for you, huh?
Pizza's better.
Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, love.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello?
Yo, it's Roz and Mocha. Okay. Need to clarify this text that you just sent.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Sex always depends on your partner. And the best sex I've ever had is in that studio room right now. Are you talking about the room that Roz and I are in?
Yeah.
Who did you have sex with in this room? And it better not be in the spot where I'm standing right now.
Oh, you mean like, no, I wasn't physically in that room having sex.
Okay.
So what room are you talking about?
The best sex that I've ever had in that room is in that room. As in a person, I didn't have sex in that room.
Oh!
I like that you guys at the same time. That's nice.
Okay. Interesting. Now
I still don't get it.
Okay. Read the full text again, Mocha.
Sex always depends on your partner.
Yes.
And the best sex I've ever had is in that studio room right now. So the way I took it was like you had sex in this room.
Yeah. As did I.
Oh, but you mean?
Well, Deepa didn't, and she gets it. So
okay. So you mean the person is in this room?
Wait. You had sex with either Mocha, Roz, or Shem?
Or you, Maury.
So by process of elimination, right? Everybody on the show married happily, right?
Yes.
The only single person in this room is Shem.
Dun-da-da-da.
Oh, dun-da-da-da.
Oh, no.
Why is Shem not talking?
I know. And Shem's the only one that hasn't said a word this entire time. This entire time.
One of the hard truths is that actions speak louder than words.
Oh, here we go. Is it Shem that you're talking about?
I mean, process of elimination. You guys figured it out.
Well, I mean, you could have been somebody from somebody's past.
True. That's very true.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about calling in and,
okay.
Or I guess that you called me. Never mind.
So Shem. Interesting.
Wait, is this true?
Do you know who this is, Shem?
Can't confirm or deny, but yes, I think I do know who it
you
is.
Think, Shem thinks he knows who you are. Can you say something?
Wow.
Wait. Can you say something to jog Shem's memory right now? Like something only Shem would know?
My memory doesn't need to be jogged.
Okay, hold on here. But mine does, Shem. Shut up. I'm back out of this, okay?
Listen.
Can you say something that only Shem would know to remind him of who you are?
It wasn't a very no, I don't think
you
so.
You texted in.
Yeah, okay. Keep thinking.
I know I did text in to tell you.
Yeah.
But okay. I don't know if I needed like a line to remind him. I think he probably remembers.
Okay.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah.
And for the reminders.
And Shem, do you feel that same way about the lady on the phone?
Yeah?
Really? Oh,
Shem sitting in that next room licking his lips and everything.
Really? Yeah. I know.
Oh, my God, guys.
Lady, you may need to make a detour ahead. I know. Shem's
legs bouncing up and down right now.
Was it where Mocha is standing?
No, it wasn't in this room, Maury.
I still think it's in the room.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay, no, it's not.
Okay, so you feel that way about Shem. Shem feels that way about you. So why isn't this... a tradition? Like, why isn't this a thing? Or is it a
tradition?
Thing?
traditional. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what happened?
I don't know if I really want to go through my personal life on the radio. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we started with the best sex you've ever had. So, really, yeah, we're not going
anonymous
to...
text message.
I know. True.
Oh, hold up.
Your whole theme was like, it's anonymous.
I know.
Did this...
Well, we don't. We never asked your name. Okay.
Did this happen recently?
Oh.
No, I don't know what you quantify as recently.
Within a year.
Maybe
one. Less than a year.
Less
okay.
than a year. We've learned something wonderful today.
Why is Shem not talking?
Let's give a round of applause for all the great lovers out there.
Woo!
Right? Let's give a round of applause for all the wonderful lovers out there. Hey, thank you so much for calling in.
You called me. But yeah,
Shem, anything you want to thank her for?
Thank you for the memories.
Oh.
And... give you a call later. I'll give you a call. No, my pleasure.
Oh, 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 here we go.
You have a wicked day.
Okay, you too. Right, bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So up until like a couple of days ago, my favorite person on the radio was me.
Okay.
Now I have a new favorite person on the radio because I am obsessed. I am obsessed with Craig Gear on City News 680 because every day I finish this show and then every day I get in the truck and I get to go and I'm going home and he's doing his traffic shift, right? He's a traffic reporter. And for the last like couple of weeks, the city crews have been out on the side of the road on the highways cutting the grass and trimming back the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And when they do that, they're on the shoulder and they have that big blinking arrow where everybody has got to go around them.
Yeah.
So the tree cutting crews and the grass cutting crews, they make such a mess on the DVP. Okay. And Craig Gear on City News takes it so personally.
Really?
He hates these people.
Okay.
So much. And so every day I get in the car and I'm like, I hope the crews are out again so I can listen to this guy go off, right? So here's a compilation. Do you want to hear the montage of Craig Gear on City News?
Yes.
Being so defeated and angry over the tree cutter. So here, listen to this.
Time now for traffic and weather together on the ones. Checking that drive, Craig Gear.
A couple of problems. It's lawn care maintenance again on the DVP southbound. How many weeks does it take to cut the lawn? Well, what do we have here on the DVP? Oh, no. They're at it again. The arborists of agony. There they are, cutting the grass, trimming the trees. The right lane's blocked off, unfortunately.
Craig, you're seeing a lot of maintenance going on out there today. Some lawn cutting?
Yes, there is lawn cutting, and you know it. They've been doing it every day. They were in a downpour yesterday. It's getting to the point where they're just going to be there every single day until there isn't any grass left. They're back. This is getting out of of hand. It's the third week now that the arborists are on the DVP cutting the grass. I'm not joking anymore. By the time they're done the DVP, they're just going to have to cut it again. Look who's back.
Guess who's back.
Oh my God.
It's lawn care time. They're cutting the grass again.
Guess who's back.
They just won't wrap it up, will they? So it would appear, yeah, they are done. And you're in the clear because it looks like the grass cutting is complete.
I love that guy. Every day I would get in the car and I'm like, please let them be cutting the grass because I love this guy, Craig Gear, so much, man.
I like how at one point the other reporter, when they were setting it up. Who is it? Steve Roberts. Steve Roberts. He like totally like egged him on.
Oh, they're at it again, aren't they?
Know,
bro. But anyway, that's my favorite guy on the radio right there, Craig Gear at 680, man. Oh. Jesus.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
We had a long weekend. How was your Father's Day?
It was wonderful. We went to the Jays game.
Yeah?
Yeah, watched the Jays almost lose, but then come back and kick the Yankees' ass. 10-9. It was real nice. Took my dad as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, wanted to have a game where it was like myself, my son, and my dad.
Have you guys done that before?
Never.
You hadn't done
that before? No. My mom came. She kind of fell asleep during the game.
Yeah. I fall asleep. Don't worry about it. I'm just like your mom. I fall asleep during every baseball game I've ever been to. Remember that one time I took Rocks had never gone to a ball game before, and I went on StubHub, and I spent like more money than I should have. Because I'm like, if you're going to go to a ball game, like your first series ball game.
Yeah.
You have to have really good seats. So I got seats that were like right behind the dugout, like row one.
Sick.
Right?
Yeah.
Row one. And we were sitting there watching the game and it was like exciting. We got a hot dog and we got popcorn and all this stuff, right? Yeah. All like it was incredible. Third inning rolls around and I look at her. And she's just like not moving. Uh-huh. She's just like staring. And I don't know what she's staring at, right? But she's not watching the game because baseball is incredibly boring.
Yeah.
Right? She's not watching the game. And I look at her and I go, "You all right?" She goes, "Yeah." And I go, "You want to go?" She goes, "Okay." And no joke. We left in the third inning.
Yeah.
By the bottom of the fourth, we were sitting in a booth at a Shoeless Joe's watching the rest of the game on a tiny little television at the end of the table.
Yes.
No joke. That was the first baseball game. We finished watching it on a television that was like 8x12. Like this tiny little thing.
Shem from the Roz and Mocha Show was at the game on, I believe it was on Saturday, right, Shem?
Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Shem was at the game on Friday night, okay? Yeah. Sitting pretty much, he told me the seats that he was sitting in, pretty much the same ones that you and Roxy sat in.
Yeah.
Right behind the dugout.
Yeah, man.
And
money's no object.
Shem, what happened?
Listen, so the game starts around, you know, 7-ish.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock, it was only the third inning. And I was nah, it's time to go. That's 2 hours.
Early.
2 hours for three innings is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
No,
I support that.
My son lasted the entire game.
Did he?
Yes.
Was he on?
And he's 5.
Jesus.
Yeah, kids got patience.
I can't even last the whole baseball game.
Wow.
I can't.
Incredible.
I've never.
Baseball. How was your Father's Day?
It was good. It was good. Rocks, I cried.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what's so crazy is last Father's Day, the way that everything went with me writing the book, right? Mm-hmm. I knew I had to get to these chapters that were going to be the hardest chapters to write about my dad and like him dying and all this stuff. And it just so happened the way the schedule was that I wound up writing that chapter last Father's Day weekend.
No.
It's just the way the schedule worked out. right?
It wasn't planned at all.
It was not planned that way.
Oh, my God.
It's just the way the schedule worked out. And so I was crushed last Father's Day weekend, right?
Man.
Like, but in a good way. Like, in a good way. I was just absolutely crushed. And then so this Father's Day weekend, I'm sitting there, and I have so much stuff I have to do for the book. And I'm going through this latest version of the manuscript. And I wake up normally. I wake up at like 4:30 in the morning or whatever it was, just because I need to get through like 200 pages before the girls get up. And I'm sitting there, and the house sort of starts to come alive a little bit later on as I'm going through the book. And then I get to the chapter, which is the chapter, the chapters about my dad dying. And I'm sort of going through them. And I just finished, no joke, I just finished reading them. And then Catherine goes, hey, Roz, you want to come in the room?
Oh, no.
And then I walk in the room and all my Father's Day stuff is in there.
Oh.
And then Rox wrote me this book, which is just, you just sort of, it asks you questions, you just fill stuff out. It's like, you know, about you and your dad kind of thing. And I start reading and I just start like, I break down, right?
Dude.
Like I totally break down. And it was just like such a beautiful moment. And then as soon as I stop crying, I give the girls a hug, and then Catherine looks at Rox and goes, yes, we got tears.
Oh my God. Mission accomplished. Happy Father's Day.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh yeah.
Well, all six episodes of Obi-Wan available on Disney Plus now, including the final episode. They did a marathon screening in Toronto last night of all the episodes.
All of them?
And yep. And Darth Vader, Hayden Christensen, was there.
Yeah.
Deborah Chow, who directed all six episodes of Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Very familiar with the galaxy because she directed a couple of the episodes of Mandalorian as well.
Mm-hmm.
Damon Mori was on the red carpet to speak with both of them. And a lot of great questions that fans want to know, especially from Hayden Christensen and dealing with the suit and getting back into the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here he comes. We're entering the dark side. Here's Hayden Christensen. Dude, hello.
It's good to see you again.
So weird.
Oh, we have a secret handshake.
There you go.
All right, Hayden, we got to talk about you getting back into the suit, okay, which is pretty fantastic. Did they have to make any alterations? Did it still have that Hayden smell?
Yeah. I mean, I think they make a new suit every time, you know, they bring the Darth Vader character back, and there are small sort of tweaks that they do, and it's sort of small improvements.
Because I mean, you could have gained, like, you could have had your COVID-15. Maybe you put on some weight. I don't know.
I put on as much weight as I could, just so I could try to fill out the suit. But it's an incredible costume, you know, and a real honor to get to wear. And
but hot as hell in there.
But hot as hell. But they actually have like an under part of the costume where they pump cold liquid around your body and like these tubes. So when you're not filming, you sit down and they plug you into this device that circulates the water around your body and it
really?
Cools you down. Yeah.
I just always figured that when it came to the suit, they had like X amount that they just keep on stock, in stock for if they ever need it. I didn't know that they made, that's something that I learned right now, is that they actually have to make brand new suits every single time.
How about the cold
time.
Liquid? That's what I learned.
And then,
like pumping liquid.
Yeah. To keep you cool, right?
Yeah, but that's because basically they treat the actor like Darth Vader. Like Darth Vader, when they stick him in that machine, they have all this liquid around him to keep him alive.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with Hayden Christensen. Poor David Prowse, though. That guy had to wear that thing in the 70s in the desert.
Oh,
you know, they didn't have liquid cooling systems
and
for David Prowse.
With the amount of gear that you're wearing.
And it was actually metal.
Yeah, and this, what I was going to say is that the suit seems like it would be heavy.
Yeah.
Like everything, because you got the helmet, you got the suit, you got the stuff that's on the front of the suit, you got the big heavy cape.
When you put that on, you got to be like, when it's hot, like if you're Hayden Christensen, you got to put that on, and then you're like, okay, my body's starting to warm up. Now what do we got to do? Cover my entire neck and face? Okay, cool. Now I'm boiling. Oh, what's next? A cape?
Yeah.
Right?
And big heavy boots.
Could you make me any more hot?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we have to do 10 takes of this one scene.
Yeah.
This is Damon Mori talking to Hayden Christensen, a.k.a. Darth Vader, on the red carpet of Obi-Wan last night.
Okay, let's talk about the rules of the suit now. Like, what if you're hungry or something? Like, is there rules? Because, I mean, have you ever spilled ketchup on it? Like, what are the rules?
No, I remember there was a very long drinking straw if I wanted to have a sip of water to, you know, get it up to my mouth. But otherwise, you know, you take the helmet off and you sit down for lunch like everyone else.
Yeah. Jesus. You would figure that they would, because you wouldn't, I guess, get out of the suit when it's time to, like, take a break or anything like that?
No.
Because it would be very difficult. Well, that's the thing. Like, do they, I assume maybe they wrap him in.
They wrap him?
Yeah, basically wrap him in, like, a giant-sized bib to protect everything.
So they put more on him? Okay, yeah. So now I got an iron suit.
Yeah.
Now I got the cape. Okay, yeah. Now, oh, what are we going to do? Wrap me. Okay, cool.
You got to preserve the suit. Dan Mori also talking to Deborah Chow, who directed all six episodes of Obi-Wan.
How much responsibility and pressure is there on you to give what the fans want? Did you ever look at, like, what the fans were saying and maybe sneak some of that in?
You know, I think that was the biggest challenge with the project is, you know, obviously we're between two trilogies and there's so many canon issues. So we definitely felt the pressure and the responsibility of it. We tried not to get too hung up on the fan stuff just because otherwise you can kind of go down a real rabbit hole with that.
So if I go to your home, would it be like a Star Wars shrine? Like, do you have all kinds of trinkets and stuff like that?
I have a lot. I do have a lot. Between the two shows, I have a lot of Star Wars stuff now.
We have.
I would say the best things I have, honestly, is that Doug Chang did an illustration of me in the Mandalorian armor, and that's probably the most special thing I have. But I have some great stuff.
Did you watch?
Maury Cullen, like, trinkets.
I know.
Trinkets.
Stop.
God damn it, man.
I almost said it in Portuguese. Shishalia.
No.
That would have been even worse. Have you watched the last episode yet, Ross?
I have not. No.
No, I'm saving
three,
three
behind.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
okay, I'm
three
fully
behind.
Caught up. I'm saving the last episode.
I read spoilers.
Did you?
But well, they made they made no sense to me.
Hold on.
No, they wouldn't.
There was one thing that you, in your notes to me about the interview.
Yeah.
Right? There's one thing in there that was a spoiler. I was like,
oh, no, really?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a spoiler. I was like, oh.
Oh, come on,
man.
Now.
What did I say that was a spoiler?
I'm not going to say it on the radio.
Really?
Yeah, there's one thing I was kind of like bummed out about.
I don't even know. I wrote, like, I talked to him on the carpet. I don't know.
Something more he wrote made sense enough to spoil it?
Oh, yeah, it was a simple sentence.
Oh, okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I swear, the people that listen to this show, I love you guys so much.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Oh, all the time.
Sometimes. I don't like when you start things this way because it never works out for me.
Slow-mo Roz and Mocha.
See?
People
damn
going
it.
Back into the archives and listening to old episodes and finding moments that when you listen to it at half speed, we sound wasted.
Yep.
And we got the best submission. One of the best from Julia, who took it back to episode 138 of our podcast.
Oh, wow.
Keep in mind, we're like in the 420s right now.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going back to February of 2020. And the way this started is we were talking about this story. According to a physics professor from Cal State University, the average person most likely has a butt that you could bounce a quarter off of. And it's not because they've got muscular butts, but because butt skin is naturally bouncy.
We did that on this show?
So
that sounds like something I'd do.
So Dammit Maury offered up his butt to you, Roz. Bare ass, quarter in hand. Here you go.
For science, though, right?
And it was all for science.
Yeah, okay, great.
And Julia listened to this at half speed and sent it into us saying, OMG, guys, you have to play this on the radio. So this is slow-mo Roz and Mocha.
I think it's important that we prove the story right.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to throw something at your butt, man. Okay? I just want people to know that this is not my idea.
I envisioned it where I'm on the table with my pants down and you're on top of me with a quarter. So how do I pull my pants down so things don't come out on the front?
That, again, is not up to me,
also,
man.
Also, you don't have to worry about how much falling out, bro.
Okay, it's I lie down and then you just and I'll scooch my pants.
Why
down.
Don't you just pull them down a little and then bend over a little bit and I'll just hurl it at you that way?
Okay, maybe everybody can hear this. Hold on, here we go. In three,
two, one. I felt a bounce.
Oh my God.
Oh man. So, Julia, thank you for your submission. That was from episode 138 of the podcast. So if you find a moment in the podcast that when you listen to it at half speed, the ridiculous conversation sounds even more ridiculous because we sound wasted.
Falling out.
Feel free to send it in to us. DM it to us. Give us a timestamp and everything. Screen record, whatever. But just get it to us and include your name so we can play on the radio.
I feel we have to redo that whole science experiment.
No, we do not.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you guys see that story? That couple that blew the money that they were supposed to spend on catering for their wedding reception, what they spent it on instead?
What did they spend it on?
Hiring a Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse to make an appearance at their wedding because they're huge. Like, they're one of these Disney couples.
That's so weird, man. When adult couples with no children are, like, still super into Disney and stuff like that, I find it weird, dude.
Like, the parents pay really for the wedding.
A lot of people are wrong.
No, I know.
Wedding reception.
I find it weird, though. What's that, Maury?
My Aunt Susie has the largest collection.
I know, it's weird.
So the parents paid for everything. So it wasn't even their money.
Oh.
And they decided, it was like $5,500 that they paid, right?
Yeah.
And they decided to spring the money that they were going to pay for catering to have this Mickey and Minnie show up.
But was it even a sanctioned Disney? You call a number at Disney and they send you authentic?
Yeah, they were like, I saw the pictures. They were real Mickey.
No, but I don't think they're sanctioned.
Minnie.
I don't think they're sanctioned. No,
but
just
like they
paid
were,
some guy who built a suit.
Yeah, they didn't like call up Disney and say, hey, we want Mickey and Minnie here, right?
Oh my God.
Because they wanted not only a show, a little performance at the wedding reception, but they also wanted Mickey and Minnie to take part in their official wedding photos.
Right.
So, obviously, the family, like the wedding guests were all pissed, and it created so much friction.
What did they feed them?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So, the woman in her post, right, online was like saying, we told our guests that there were multiple options in the wedding venue for them to get
like,
food.
Go and get a sandwich?
Yeah, to get food, including vending machines for them to get snacks.
Oh, my gosh.
Or like nearby McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like you. So, okay. You do that. You're getting married alone at that point, right?
Like,
don't invite people. Don't
rude.
Invite people because also I don't want to see you do a first dance with Mickey and Minnie at your wedding.
That's weird, right?
I won't be your friend after that. To be honest with you.
I don't know if I ever.
Yeah, I don't know if we could recover.
Obviously, any of the guests that were there have a completely different view and different relationship with that couple, because I think if I were in that situation, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I'd ever talk to those people.
I've never been to a wedding where they've had mascots. Like, I was at a wedding once where the wedding cake had little minions on it because the husband was a huge Minions fan.
Jesus.
The husband was a Minions fan?
Can't believe that. Like,
yeah. Okay, you can be a giant Minion fan every day leading up to the wedding. You can be a giant Minion fan every day.
But there's no massive guy in a Minions costume.
I know. Don't put the Minions
still,
on the wedding cake.
Yeah.
It's super weird, man. Like, you don't want your woman to think that she's marrying a child. You know what I mean?
and you
that's
know,
like, if he's putting, if your husband's, because the guy probably didn't do anything for the wedding anyway.
Yeah.
Then if his one contribution is, listen, okay, I know that you're taking care of everything and that's fine, but you know, I get my minions on the cake. The wedding's not happening.
It even sounds weird just to hear you say that.
Like, but at least that wedding had food.
Yeah, true. Oh man, you don't feed guests. You send your guests to the vending machines at your wedding reception because you spent all the money having Mickey and Minnie there.
Yeah.
To be in your, give them
to be in your photos.
They were only there for half an hour for pictures. It was like $5,500 for half an hour for them to show up and take pictures.
Yeah.
Which is
and do
ridiculous.
A little bit of a dance,
man.
Put on a little bit of a show.
You got to be kidding.
And then
me.
You have your guests starving.
So you had to
for
pay for your own vending machine stuff. You had to use your own change.
But why have the wedding? Why even have the wedding?
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to be happy for you. Nobody in that room is happy that you spent your catering budget to have Mickey and Minnie show up at your wedding.
Well, they're invited so that they give gifts.
Yeah, but guess what?
Yeah, I think I'd take my gift back.
Yeah, no, you know, I would give them, I would still give them a gift.
Oh, to make them feel bad?
Yeah.
I don't think they feel bad at all.
Twix from the vending machine.
Oh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hoorah. It is so humid in here right now. My arms are sticking to the table.
Oh, you didn't even let me.
My stuff is sticking to my legs.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Everything's
right.
Sticking to everything.
I was about to yell out, how humid is it?
Oh. It's so humid in here.
How humid is it?
My arms are sticking to the table. I got other things sticking to other things that I can't even discuss.
Oh, you stand up and shake?
Bro, it's tough.
Or it don't work.
No. You know?
Shem knows.
He's a lot of... Yeah,
I know. Shem's looking at me like, the knee, right?
Knee?
Right.
<Me?
laughs> We shaved his ankle real quick.
No, man. I can't even put my arms on the counter. I'm like sticky.
I know.
It's like I've been eating pancakes.
So y'all don't have to worry about humidity and with your hair because you guys all have like
short
hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does humidity do anything to black hair, Shem?
Like when it... I don't think so. Like, at least it doesn't affect me.
It doesn't.
At all.
Yeah.
Although, like, I put like a lot of like grease in my hair. So
what
it,
kind
it,
of grease are you putting in your hair?
Yo, well, like, you did something like, different with your hair too, right?
Yeah, I've been rocking this sort of like almost like a faux hawk thing.
Yeah, okay.
I like it though. It looks good.
So, explain the grease that you put in it.
Well, it's just moisturizer for my scalp, right?
Okay.
And then,
but is it also hair product or it's not? It's just scalp stuff that you have to get through your hair to get to your scalp.
Well, no, I'll use two things. I'll use something for my scalp to keep it moisturized, and then I'll use what's called. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
Wave cream.
Okay. Yes.
Like, okay. You remember wave cream?
Yeah.
To like create like the wave effect in your hair.
Yeah.
I use that sometimes. And then I think I even have it here. Hold on. Let me just show you guys something.
Yeah. Please do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I feel, I know with the humidity, I find that with short hair, because you get hot, like, so. Quick, I find like I sweat a lot quicker,
but it doesn't. But humidity like doesn't. Your
but
hair
it doesn't
go
do,
fluffy.
No,
or,
no, no. It doesn't
anything
do anything
like
to my
that,
hair.
Right?
No, I just sweat quick.
We'll get to you in a second, Maury, because I want to know what you do in the humidity.
Okay.
What do you got, Shem?
So I know people listening can't see this, but sure. I have this like sponge-like device. Okay,
that's a sponge. It's not a sponge-like device. That's just a sponge.
That kind of looks like what I clean my sneakers with.
Yeah,
very similar, and it's got all these like holes, and the holes are designed to catch in my hair.
Okay,
and if I go like this.
So you rub a sponge on your
it
head.
It creates this like
circular.
Curly effect.
Okay,
what?
Yeah, so you go in a circular motion there.
Which allows me to create. Hold on.
You go clockwise there on the top of your head. Okay.
And then it allows me to create like little curls in my hair.
Dude, if I did that to my hair, I would have one big giant mat like a cat.
Wait, so what's the other side? The other side has ridges on it.
Yeah.
Right? It looks like little mountains.
This is for like different course, different if I'm looking for like a different sort of look.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I don't like that look. I want the other one. So yeah, a little bit of a wavy, curly look.
I discovered this, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
How much is one of them brushes? And it's not like a brush.
It's a sponge.
It's sponge. It's foam, right?
Yeah.
So how much does one of those run for?
About $20.
Okay.
Yeah, about $20, and it does the job, and it gives the mohawk sort of a nicer look.
Yeah, it looks like the thing I clean my tub with.
Yeah, it does. It looks exactly like that. I have one
You're
of those.
Just missing
for, I
the
got,
handle.
I got one of those for the steel rims on my truck. Who has longer hair, Mocha? You or Maury? Whose hair is longer
right now?
Maury.
You think so?
Yeah, because my stylist is on vacation.
Right, and so does humidity do anything to your hair more?
It just makes it
like fluffy.
Yeah, like poofy.
Yeah, because your hair's naturally curly, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, I once tried a straightener on it, and I was very happy, but that only lasts like an hour.
What are you talking about, only lasts an hour? Like a straightener product?
No, like with the curling iron.
But a curling? Wait a second.
No, the non-curling iron.
That's like the problem. You're using a curling iron.
No, I don't know what the other non-curling...
For your curly hair.
No, it's like, it's a machine that he puts in, it heats it.
A machine? You mean like a straightening iron?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's very dangerous with
not
short
like
hair like that.
Not like a panini press.
Yeah.
Here, put your head right here.
Delicious. So he straightens your hair.
He did once when it was super long, and I loved it.
Oh. Uh-huh. What do you mean when it was super long? When was your hair ever been super long?
We've never known you to have super long hair.
Yeah, within the first year of COVID, I just grew it and grew it.
No, it's not super long, Maury.
I mean, it went to, like, my eyebrows.
Maury, considering his hair super long, says so much about other things I'm sure he thinks are super long, too, right?
And there goes the nervous laugh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You know how one of Dammit Maury's goals in the acting world is just to become a background actor, right? He just wants to be a guy, doesn't want to star in a movie, doesn't want to be a main character, anything like that. He just wants to be featured background style.
SOC is the term, silent on camera. I don't want to be too far in the back. I want to be seen, but not seen.
I think that you've surpassed that goal now with the amount of shows that you've been on where you've had a speaking part,
well,
though.
My wonderful agent Alex says that I'm a very gifted actor.
Please. Excuse me?
You better get out. I found the perfect role for Dan Maury.
Just wait for 1 second. Who else does your agent represent, Maury?
Oh, I've never looked at the roster.
Okay, there we go.
So your agent Alex is going to want to look into this.
Okay.
So Adam Sandler is filming a movie in Toronto.
Okay.
And they put out the call sheet for extras and background actors.
We've already discussed it.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. Listen to this. So there's a book that they're turning into a movie, and it's called You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. Okay?
Yeah.
And the call sheet for extras, they said that they're looking for background performers in three different age groups. So 6 to 11 years old, 12 to 17, and then, damn it, Maury's age bracket, 18 and older. Especially older.
I like when it's worded that way.
Come on.
The casting
sheet, a cap to 18 and older.
Listen to this. The casting sheet says this.
Yeah.
They're not only within that age group, but also looking for people who, quote, have lived experiences of attending a bar or bat mitzvah.
Right.
I've been to many. I had one.
Is that because they can't specifically say Jewish? They're only hiring, like...
Well, apparently, they've also been looking for Jewish grandmothers.
Oh, God.
So, filming will take place between June 29th, which is next week, and August 12th. People possibly required for multiple days, depending on their role and scene. So, Maury, there you go.
I know, but they're clearly going to need me for many days, so I'm trying to figure out how many days they would need me for.
When did the casting go out for this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Uh-huh. And do you have an audition yet?
No. I've just submitted pictures. I went to the page.
Yeah.
You can submit up to 8 photos. They say no filter.
8 photos?
Yeah, and you're not allowed to use a professional headshot and no filter on your photo.
What?
You're not allowed to use professional?
No professional photos.
Oh, really? Interesting.
No filter. They want selfies.
So which photos did you submit?
Just stuff off my Facebook. They want to see a natural look.
Wait, are you talking like not recent photos? Did you send like old ass photos?
No, you have to take a selfie on the spot as well as one of them.
So which photos did you send from your Facebook?
Oh, like me just standing in the park, me holding an ice cream.
From when?
Like a couple of years ago.
Wait, hold on a second.
You don't like how you look now, so you sent them old pictures.
Bro, this is like... You're the type of person that women talk about who they meet like on Tinder and stuff that submit old photos. Are you talking about the photo of you leaning up against the tree, sucking in your belly when you were like super, super thin, holding the ice cream?
That's the one.
That one?
Yeah.
Bro, wasn't that from like 2018 or something?
Yeah.
Dude. Come on now. Come on. I mean, I understand show business. Like, everybody sort of puts on a front.
Yeah.
But when they specifically asked for, did you send them this one of you on a red carpet too?
Which one's
that?
Or
is that too pro? This one here?
I did send that one
you
in.
You did send that one.
But
first
here's
of
the thing.
All, you look, your face looks like it is in so much pain from sucking everything in, Maury.
Yeah.
Like you are in
but
like
here's where
agony.
I feel like you're going to get caught, damn it, Maury. First of all, people listen to this show, so they're going to know right away, right?
I actually know the casting people love this show.
So there's that, right? So they know right away. And on top of submitting your professional, it says here, a couple of professional photos, you have to fill out a form about your current clothing size.
Oh. I'm still a 30-30 in the jeans.
So.
You're like a plug. 30-30. You know what I mean? You're as wide as you are tall.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right, you have until Tuesday to get caught up on everything that happened in season one of Only Murders in the Building. Yeah. It's a fantastic show. Hulu in the States, Disney Plus in Canada, starring Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. They could not have cast this any better.
No, it's so good. And now Cara Delevingne.
And now Cara Delevingne is in season two, which comes out.
I love that they cranked this out. They did with this show what they did with Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Which was after that super successful season one, they just got right back
had
to it and cranked out a second episode.
Season two does not disappoint.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh my God, yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
So Cara Delevingne, I had no idea she's from like the UK or wherever.
Yeah.
English accent. I always thought she was American.
Right. Yeah, I think me too.
And like I was like listening to, because Damon Mori did an interview with Cara Delevingne, right?
Yeah.
And gorgeous. I was listening to it and I had no idea.
Does she, like, have an, does she have an accent in the show?
A little bit.
But no.
Not
but
as strong,
like,
not as strong as in real life.
But does she play American in the show?
No.
No, okay.
I had no idea she had an accent. But this is not a spoiler alert.
Okay.
But Cara Delevingne plays Selena Gomez's love interest in season two.
Good couple.
She's a neighbor. She lives in the building.
Don't trust her already.
So one of the things that we learn in season one of Selena Gomez's character is she keeps having these dreams, these reoccurring dreams. And so that theme continues in season two, which Dammit Maury asked Cara Delevingne about.
Mabel talks about having a recurring dream all the time. Now, have you ever had a recurring dream? Is this something that you yourself have ever had?
Yes, I have. I used to a lot. I used to always wake up and be walking down a hallway trying to find the right door. And I'd be opening all these different doors because I really needed to pee. And then I would find the loo finally. And then once I actually woke up on the loo when I found the loo because I used to sleepwalk.
Whoa, that's fantastic.
Oh, and I have a reoccurring dream about pulling my teeth out.
There's Jesus. Google that. That means something.
Yeah, no, I know. I know what it means. They crumble, they pull out. It's like, it's weird. But I also wanted to be a dentist when I was younger. So.
That's recurring dreams.
You know what's
teeth.
So you know what's so weird?
You had a dream about your teeth?
No, no, because I don't remember my dreams. Oh. I was sitting on the toilet this morning, like getting ready, right? it's basically a stool at that point. Like my pants were up, but I'm sitting on the toilet this morning, and I just in my head, it's weird because I hadn't heard Maury's interview with Cara Delevingne,
yeah,
at all, and I started thinking about teeth. For some weird reason, I hadn't even brushed my teeth yet. And I was like, the image that popped into my head was, what if your teeth were like, you know, like an aspirin, when you get an aspirin wet? Like, what if you woke up one day and if you got your teeth wet, they would just disintegrate like an aspirin?
Oh, like it powders?
And like you're brushing your teeth, and as you're brushing your teeth, they're disappearing.
Why were you thinking about
that? I don't know.
That's super weird.
And it was super gross. And then I was like, get that out of my head.
Did that happen before or after you brush your teeth?
Before.
Wait, but then if you just don't brush your teeth wouldn't disintegrate then in your dream.
Then that's my thing, right? Maybe I was trying to convince myself to not brush my teeth. Anyway, more Cara Delevingne, please.
How important was it for you that if you were going to play a love interest on a show, that the other person was also going to be a girl?
I think it's extremely important. And I think it's also very important for there to be characters that aren't the main story, just because characters who are part of the community who are just there and like part of it, but you know, have their own pathway, just because sometimes I think when it's so heavily featured or it's the main story, people who need to see it, maybe don't agree with it, will see it because this is one of the biggest shows on Hulu. So like it's so much, means so much to so many people.
This is Cara Delevingne, by the way, on Disney Plus on Tuesday is the return of Only Murders in the Building season two. Selena Gomez, Steve Martin, and the great Martin Short.
You've got to talk to me about working with two comedy legends. What was it like to work with two legends, and what happened when the cameras weren't rolling? Because those two, Steve and Marty, like to play with each other very well.
They do. Well, they liked, they love to play, they love to play games every time we are, like, either Steve would do magic tricks, Marty would be telling some crazy story, which is always like him anyway, or they'd both tell a story, or one of them would dob each other in to tell the story that they neither didn't want to tell, but then they really did. Or they always played this game called like Crab Hands. No idea. I tried to learn it. I didn't understand it, but they love that game and they always make fun of each other for that. But we started turning into mini Steve and Marty because I'm really like Marty and Selena's actually quite like Steve. So that was really funny because then we just like really enjoyed getting more like them and then became really, really like them. And it was kind of scary.
It almost seems like Martin Short and Steve Martin, when the cameras aren't rolling, are still performing.
Oh, they always are.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they let the time pass.
Yeah. That's such a good show, man.
Only Murders in the Building, Disney Plus, Season 2 on Tuesday.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Cassandra, how are you? It's Roz and Mocha.
I'm good, how are you?
Good, welcome to Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life. What's going on? Why are you reaching out?
I need help in how to approach getting my 5-year-old to eat and try new foods.
you were says, Roz and Mocha, fix my life! my husband and I have very different methods, and though we can usually find a compromise with most things having to do with the kids. There really isn't one here, at least that we can see. So I guess I need help with how to get the kid to eat, but also how to find that middle ground with my husband when it comes to this. What's the dispute between you and your husband?
So my husband is very, he was raised by a single mom, so it's very finish your dinner or you don't get to do this or you're just going to be able to eat it tomorrow or have five more bites or anything like that. And it turns into usually a fight and gets the five-year-old upset. And I'm more, okay, eat what you can. I just want him to eat. It's all my fault. I know that. And I'm very laid back with it, probably not helping him, but we kind of push back and forth on this.
So I think the threats are the wrong way to go. Like, if you don't do this, then you won't get that. You know what I mean?
Mocha's absolutely, I mean, you can fight with a kid like that all day. A five-year-old is going to dig his heels in, right? What are you going to do at that point? When my kid was young, my goal with her, which was the same thing that my mom did with me, was I realized very early on that my kid was more likely to try something she's never tried if she made it herself.
Yes.
Right.
And so Rox has been standing on a chair in the kitchen with knives and squishing things together and making things since she was younger than five. Right. My kid had no desire on ever touching an egg. Eggs gross the kid out like beyond. Until she made an omelet.
Okay.
Right?
So that was going to be, because we have a five-year-old in our house as well, Cassandra. And same thing, in and around 4 or 5 years old, they become a little bit more aware of what's on their plate and might be a little bit more cautious and particular, right? But we found that when Jenna's prepping dinner, every now and then Cruz will get up on a chair, much like what you said, Roz, and he has his own set of, like, kitchen-safe knives and his own cutting board and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So he will cut up vegetables. He will help prep dinner, which makes him, at the end of it all, before, you know, we all sit down, feel more proud that he took part in helping to make this meal that he will then sit and be more inclined to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll always bring a spoon over. Like, I'll be doing something in the kitchen and I'll bring a spoon over that has something on it that I'm working on. I'll be like, Rox, I need you to try this for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I include her, and then she'll be like, oh my God, that's us. She's like, what did you do? Did you do this thing or this thing? And I'm like, I did this thing. Like, she just has a knowledge of food. And the conversation that Catherine and I had when Roxy was very, very little was when she was still in a high chair. I gave her spicy food because oftentimes when kids sort of start getting older, the things that they won't try is they don't try them because they have flavor of any kind. And that's why they like white foods. They like white bread. They like
white rice,
you know, all of those things that have no flavor. And so when Rox was little, she was eating curry.
Yeah.
And when she was little, she was eating the hottest chips I could find if we ever gave her potato chips. Like, she would sit there and take a bite and then go like without even being able to talk kind of thing. Right. Like super hot because I needed her to understand that things have explosive flavor. So she doesn't gravitate towards, I want a hot dog, but I'm going to pull the wiener out and just eat the bun.
So Cassandra, have you, like, what's the tactic at home? Have you tried having your five-year-old help out in the kitchen or, you know, when presented with, you know, a big variety of things, have them kind of pick and choose what it is they want?
I mean, when he was younger, we had one of those the helper stools that had the back on it, and he was helping mainly his dad, just because his dad was home before me with work, so he was cooking dinner. So he was helping him and everything like that. And then as he got older, and we no longer have a kitchen table, so he's away from there, and he got more into the toys and the iPad and all that kind of stuff. He kind of just our timing wise, especially with the new baby that came, we have to do everything so rushed that we don't really do a good cooking together kind of thing.
Yeah, you should try having him involved a little bit more in choosing what goes on the plate.
You know, I would get him in there every single day, and depends on what meal it is. It could be breakfast. It could be, you know, it could be anything. I would, you know, a five-year-old can make toast. You know, a five-year-old can put toast in the toaster and watch it pop up and, you know, monitor it and put butter on, you know, on a piece of toast. Like, they can absolutely do that.
The big takeaway, two takeaways from this convo is stop with the threats, because that's not going to work.
Yeah.
and have your son be a little bit more involved in either prepping or even choosing like which vegetable he wants on the plate from, you know, a wide variety that's out there. I think if he's involved a little bit more, he'll be more inclined to actually sit there and eat as much as he can.
Yeah, that's true. And that'll help with lunches because he can't bring sandwiches. So all he gets is lunches.
And also, don't load him up with too many snacks after school before dinner.
Yes, and that's a problem too, is just timing wise and stuff like that. Yeah. But yes, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But also, I mean, if he's not into cooking right away in the kitchen, get him baking. You know, like even just throwing like a pack of those cookies that you cut up.
Oh, yeah.
You stick them on a cookie sheet, and then he stands there and watches them, and you give him a phone where you can look at the time, you know, on the phone and watch the numbers count down. Like, just, it's just about responsibility when it comes to the food, right? And then that's where the pride comes in, and then that's where the experimentation comes in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, all right, Cassandra, have a good day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life
on Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
It's that time. Hey, Mocha.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's do the news.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
All right, hit me with that new Beyonce. I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, girl.
It's called Break My Soul.
You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul.
Yeah.
You won't break my soul. I'm telling everybody.
Okay. Now, I'm watching everybody. The room here. Yeah. Shanna's grooving the most. Mocha's grooving the second most. Maury, like, not barely even moving. Like a tiny little bit.
Because that beat sounds very familiar.
It sounds like, whatchamacallit? Finally, it happened
to me. Oh, Cece Peniston.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
A lot of people said that.
Did they? Yeah. That's what she sounds like to me.
This is exactly what I need from Beyonce right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need this up-tempo kind of summer vibe, happy.
Apparently in the lyrics, she tells us all to quit our jobs.
And we all listen to Beyonce.
Bye.
The queen has spoken. Oh, this is such a good song. I'm glad it wasn't like a down-tempo ballad.
It's a simple track too, huh?
And like, Pride, she's like, this Sunday, we got our song.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a very, very Pride appropriate track.
I can already picture the guys in their Speedos dancing to this.
You can probably picture guys in Speedos dancing just about any song if we played it right now. it's an uncomplicated track, right? Lyrically and sonically, like, there's not much, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, there's not much to it. You know what I mean? It's easy to ingest, especially the first time hearing it.
Which is sort of surprising.
That's what I mean. Very. Beyonce, you don't get that from Beyonce.
Very sort of complex, incredible art. But
yes.
This is very simple. I think she's kind of, she's hit the tone. Mocha said it right. She's hit the tone. People just need to relax, vibe out a little bit, dance. We've been locked down for so long. Perfect song for the
vibe. I'm reading like mixed reviews. There are people who don't like it.
Because I think that they were expecting maybe the other. You know, I think that
the fierceness. There's no
because the reaction has always been like, you know, when Lemonade came out, my God, like, you know, people were, you know, that was like,
oh man,
that 24 hours was empowering.
Yeah. That was also the worst.
Smashing things with a bat, right?
Worst 24 hours of Jay-Z's life.
Yes. Right?
Becky with the good hair.
Oh, all that. but the song was supposed to come out at midnight. It came out at 10 p.m. on Tidal before the midnight release on other platforms.
It didn't come out till 3 a.m.
Really? Because it was supposed to be midnight Eastern. That's weird that they would do that.
People, it's not in Canada yet.
Oh, well, there you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Kristen Bell on with Jimmy Fallon last night, and I don't know whether she's serious or not, because it's Chris. She's always funny, and I don't know when to take Kristen Bell seriously. But this is Kristen Bell with, quote, no authority, making a huge announcement on Jimmy Fallon.
I would like to officially announce, with zero authority, Frozen 3. Please bear in mind, I did
say zero authority because I can't do that.
Yeah, you can't announce
it. I can't do that. No, I'm not in charge.
But there could be something maybe in the works and maybe happening. Maybe.
Well, you know, I'll keep it mysterious. But I know Adina recently said she would do it. And I feel like if we're all in, like...
We're all in. Come on. We want it. We love you.
Kristen Bell. So what does that mean?
That means the movie's done.
No, it does. She said that Kristen Bell would do it.
Yeah, she said that
Adina Menzel would do it.
She said that she and Adina would do it.
Nah, I think it's done.
So it just means that they all agreed to do it, so they have nothing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's a play.
No, you would know if this thing, people had been working on this. These movies take years to make.
I know. I think it's done.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
You think that they made a Frozen 3 in secret?
Yeah,
wow.
I think so.
Wow. Okay. I don't know, man. It'd make a ton of money, though.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catherine Reitman's Working Moms is coming to an end after its upcoming seventh season.
Come on.
That was announced.
My wife and I love that show so much. That's like one of our shows.
Yeah, so that is both on Netflix and CBC.
This
according to the Hollywood Reporter. So that is after...
Round of applause.
It'll be seven seasons.
And congratulations to our girl, Catherine Reitman. Such a great show. I love it. The writing on it, the comedy on it is just fantastic.
Give her the horn because she always loves that.
Oh, Marco. She does. She does. We'll have to get her on again before the kickoff to the next...
Mm-mm.
Oh, why is this not working?
Can we do it with our mouth?
No.
Yeah.
There you go. That's so sad. She deserves better.
Oh, no.
Seven seasons of a hit show.
Deepa, do it again.
Come on now.
Do it again.
You sound like a cat.
Yeah, you really do.
Meow. Sounds like the air horn. Meow.
Okay, you try now, Maury. No. Try the air horn.
Oh. I thought you wanted me to do a cat.
No, we're not doing cats. Okay. It's celebrating Catherine Reitman.
Mow, 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 mow.
Okay, y'all.
That still sounds like a cat. Yeah.
That sounds more like a cat than Deepest.
Okay, how about...
Okay.
Sounds like a cat playing trumpet.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Yellowstone prequel that was announced with... who's in that? It's... Harrison Ford and...
No. Harrison Ford.
Not Harrison
Ford.
Oh, my
God. Kevin Costner.
No. The new prequel.
Oh, sorry. Yes. It is Harrison Ford and...
Helen Mirren. Yes. So it got a name change. So it was announced yesterday that 1932, which was going to be the name of the show, is now going to be known as 1923.
What?
So they're going back 10 years.
Right.
And will take place doing the, quote, the new titular years as opposed to the former, per the guidelines, 1923, focuses on the Dutton family's next two generations as they struggle to survive historic drought, lawlessness, and prohibition, and an epidemic of cattle theft, all battled between the clouds and mountains of Montana's Great Depression, which preceded the nation by almost a decade. And so this will pick up just sort of tail at the very end of World War One, which wrapped up in 1918. So that's...
What was that like, Roz?
Shush your mouth, Maury.
The days were long.
Meow, meow, meow.
Out of the book.
You know, in the...
out of the book. Thank
you. In the actual show, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Costner's character.
Yeah.
John Dutton was like all pissy because like people are trying to take his land and then like all these like rich a-holes were moving in to the town and like changing things up, right? And he wanted to kind of preserve the way things are.
Yes.
I was reading an article that in real life out there in Montana, like people who are like rich folk who are fans of Yellowstone are buying up property and moving there and like the place is changing just like in the TV show.
They've always had that. Like... David Letterman has had a house in Montana for 25 years. That's where he goes. When Letterman wasn't doing his show, he wouldn't go to like the Hamptons or Montauk. You know, any of those places. He would go to Montana.
Really?
Yeah, that's where Letterman would go. Huh. Yeah. So it's always sort of been this, place where rich people did go. Now you have fans who want to go.
Like the locals
go
are complaining
there.
Even
yes.
more now.
Yes.
Maybe they'll do like reenactments and stuff, you know? Maybe there's like a market for that.
It's like Sundance. So Sundance, where the film festival is, right? In Park City. Park City is this tiny, tiny, tiny little sleepy ski town, right? And once a year, when the film festival shows up, when Sundance Film Festival shows up, the locals hate it, right? They call the people who show up at Sundance the Pibs.
PIBS?
The PIBS.
Like P-I-B-S?
P-I-B-S, which stands for the people in black.
Oh, geez.
Because everybody just shows up from New York and L.A. to a ski village wearing all black.
Oh, okay.
Right? And they're like, here come the PIBS.
Yeah.
Right? So they hate it, much like the people in Montana when this happens.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Charlie Sheen has had a change of heart regarding his 18-year-old daughter joining OnlyFans. So Sammy Sheen turned 18 and announced immediately that she was joining OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Sheen at the time, by the way, she also got 100,000 followers on Instagram and is already charging $19.99 a month for subscribers on her OnlyFans. I mean, it's out of the gate. I guess you could raise it. At the time, Charlie told Us Weekly, this did not occur under my roof. She is 18 years old now and living with her mother. Now, Sammy and Denise Richards have had this sort of, you know, battle type relationship where I think Sammy called living in the house with Denise Richards like a hell house and said that she hated it there. But Denise Richards then came out and supported Sammy in her OnlyFans endeavor, saying, there's lots of negative comments on my social post this week. I have to say, I wish I had the confidence my 18-year-old daughter has, and I also can't be judgmental of her choices. I did wild things and Playboy. Quite frankly, her father shouldn't be either, given Charlie Sheen's history with his ex-girlfriends.
Right.
But however, Charlie Sheen had a complete change of heart. He said, Denise has illuminated a variety of salient points that in my haste I overlooked and dismissed. He goes on to say, now more than ever, it is essential that Sammy have an unedited parental front to rely upon as she embarks on this new adventure. From this moment forward, she'll have it abundantly. So
as written by his PR team.
Right? I mean, Charlie Sheen, you know, I don't know if he has a PR team anymore. But, you know, of course you wouldn't be happy at the first thought of your 18-year-old doing it. But then I guess you got to come around and not like shame her and all this stuff. Like, I don't know, like what's going on her OnlyFans. I don't know. Like, do people, does everybody get naked on OnlyFans more?
No,
that doesn't. No, it's not everybody.
Just like Harry from Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because he hasn't gotten naked yet.
Oh my God. Maury.
How much does he charge?
A lot more than that.
Really?
So the thing is, but he knows that he's doing it just to bait people into paying the money. And
so how much do you pay a month?
Oh, no, I canceled my subscription.
Oh, how much were you paying? Jesus Christ, if we have to rephrase the question. Okay, how much were you paying
$24.99.
$24.99?
Just to see him shower with his shorts on.
What? What? Does Matthew know this, Maury? Because this is kind of...
Deepa, please. We don't ask that question on this show. Come on now. $24.99 to watch a man shower in shorts.
I only paid for 1 month, just for the record. It's important to note.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. Okay. Way to show restraint, Maury. Way to show restraint.
Wow.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, whoever puts Wordle together has, like, they got some issues, man.
Why?
What, did you see the word on Father's Day was loser?
I know.
Right?
I know. Not cool.
Come on, man. You can't tell me that's random.
Sick joke.
Right? And everybody's all proud. I got it in two. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean?
Of course you did.
Come on, man. You don't put loser on Father's Day as the Wordle word.
I didn't even realize it was Father's Day.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be something related to Father's Day.
Yeah, it was apparently, right?
Uh-huh, jokes on you, Dad.
Exactly, exactly. You call your dads, man, whoever you are, puts that Wordle together.
Yeah, and then I saw like Barstool on Sunday, like posting all the random, like the videos of just like dads getting hit in the face with a baseball or like just getting clowned on by their kids.
Yeah, I know.
Like Father's Day really hits different now, huh?
Yeah.
I couldn't reach my dad.
What do you mean? Really?
I texted him over and over and he didn't respond.
Really?
Oh, no.
I'm like, I just want to call and wish you happy Father's Day.
Did you send him anything?
Like what? Like a gift?
Yeah, like a Father's Day.
Oh, I gave him a gift on my birthday. I gave him his Father's Day gift when I was there.
Oh, I got you. Elon Musk's trans daughter is changing her name because she doesn't want to be associated with him anymore. So she was born male, named Xavier Musk, if you remember that. She turned 18 in April and now wants to be known as Vivian Jenna Wilson, taking the name of her mother, Justine Wilson. Elon and Justine were married from 2000 to 2008. Now, she listed the reason for wanting the name change as, quote, gender identity and the fact that I no longer live with or wish to be related to my biological father in any way, shape, or form.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know how, there's no other way to say that. That's a statement.
I don't like each other.
That is a statement. Yeah. That's tough.
When she released that on Father's Day?
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine? Loser.
Yeah. Do your wordle.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, you no, he probably hasn't texted him in forever. And you just write him being like, oh my God, did you get the wordle today?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh, it's such a
also
troll.
Read this.
Thank God I didn't. Thank God I didn't get that text from anybody. You know what I mean? And hadn't done it yet. I would be so crushed. I would be so crushed.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
An unopened VHS copy of Back to the Future just sold for $75,000.
Is it just a regular VHS one or is it like an anniversary
one? It said a sealed Back to the Future VHS tape just sold for $75,000. Wow. Oh, you know whose this was though? Oh, wow. This explains it. So do you know whose VHS it was? And why would he sell this? This makes no sense to me.
Who?
It was Tom Wilson's unopened copy.
Biff Tannen?
Yes. So I guess he sold it. This set a record for the highest price ever paid at an auction for a sealed VHS tape.
I mean, he does not like talking about the movie.
No.
So is he just trying to get rid of everything Back to the Future from his life?
Jeez.
Why would you sell that? He's an artist now. He does paintings.
Yeah, so he wrote, since I knew that the VHS platform would be around forever, I saved it for later, and now I can't find a VCR. Oh, well, enjoy.
Oh, damn.
That's a lot of money. So I guess an unopened copy of The Goonies previously sold for $50,000 and an unopened VHS copy of Jaws sold for $32,500.
Wow, so this is the highest. Wow. $75,000.
$75,000 for a VHS
tape. I have an unopened VHS of Forrest Gump.
Do you? That may be worth something more. Wasn't it two videos though? Forrest Gump was two videos.
And I have the third VHS from Forrest Gump I have is the making of.
God. Who bought the making of Forrest Gump on VHS?
Maury, one of one.
Jesus.
It's an exclusive.
Man. Yeah, that one may actually be worth something.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
What is mashed.com? Can one of you millennials tell me what this is?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Mashed.com. What do they do on that website? Because I got a bone to pick with them. Tell me what it is.
Who's Googling so quickly?
Yeah,
me?
I know.
I'm figured, Googling.
What is it?
Oh, it's like recipes and food and stuff.
Food.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. So Mash.com does their ranking of the top 10 cupcake flavors.
Okay.
Does their ranking of the top 10 cupcake flavors. So just start shouting out sort of cupcake flavors.
Chocolate.
Chocolate is on the list.
Would you say Deepa? Birthday cake.
Birthday cake.
Butterscotch.
Yeah. Okay. So,
hold on.
Yes.
I have one more.
Yes.
Red velvet.
Okay. So here we go.
I love red velvet, by the way.
Vanilla was number 8 on the list.
Really?
Number 8?
Chocolate. Okay. Chocolate was number 7 on the list.
What the hell's number one?
Okay.
Excuse me. What's between six and one?
Now you know why I have a problem with where this website is. Yeah. Okay. So number 9 was chocolate and peanut butter.
Okay.
Then vanilla at 8.
Yeah.
Then chocolate chip at 7.
Okay.
Then something called hummingbird at 6.
I don't know that one.
Which is a tropical cake with pineapple, coconut, and banana.
AKA barf.
Okay. At number 5 is maple bacon.
Ew.
By the way, this is according to mash.com, the best cupcake flavors. Maple bacon at number 5. At number 4 was strawberry.
No.
At number 3 was black forest.
No.
No.
At number 2 was apple pie.
Goodbye. What? Love apple pie.
And number 1 was s'mores.
Absolutely not.
Okay, s'mores is not bad.
S'mores is not bad.
S'mores cupcake.
No.
For the record, coffee cupcakes came in 25th, just behind banana, coconut, salted caramel, and pumpkin spice.
How is red velvet not on there?
Red velvet not on there.
That is a joke.
Because a lot of people don't think red velvet's a flavor.
Well, they're dumb.
Because what is red velvet? It's just chocolate cake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With food coloring.
With food coloring, yeah.
And cream cheese frosting. Amazing.
Right. Oh,
yeah. I love me a red velvet.
Okay. So again, s'mores. I've never had a s'mores cupcake. I've never had an apple pie.
Marshmallow.
They're
no,
good.
I'm not a fan of marshmallow.
They're good, but like not number one.
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't listen. I don't like, we roast marshmallows. I don't eat them, though. I don't like sweet things.
Wait, so you roast them? What do you do? Throw them away?
No, I give them to the kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just like, roast them away. I'm done.
Yeah. No, I just literally I hold it on a stick until it disintegrates into the fire. Yeah. Right? I let it melt right off the stick.
So relaxing.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Hart and the Ted Lindsay trophies last night at the NHL Awards. This is Austin Matthews accepting his award for MVP.
First, congrats to Igor, Connor, on amazing seasons. Like I said before, so much respect for you guys. You guys are incredible at what you do. I want to thank the Toronto Maple Leafs from top to bottom, management, ownership, coaches, all the staff, every single one of my teammates. This doesn't happen without you guys, so thank you. Whew, all the fans, Toronto Maple Leafs fans, Leafs Nation, there's nobody like you guys. My family, again, love you guys so much. Means the world to me to have you guys here. And I know Father's Day was a couple days ago, but Bri, this one's for you. So thank you.
And so the MVP was voted on by writers, sports writers, and then the Ted Lindsay was voted on by the NHLPA. So if you're wondering how the voting broke down for the MVP, Austin Matthews had 119 first place ballots, while Connor McDavid had 29.
Oh, damn.
So it was definitely going to be Austin Matthews' year. Kenan Thompson hosted the event, and after Austin Matthews walked away with the night's two biggest awards. Kenan throwing shade, man.
Congratulations, man. Good job, guys. Good job. Nice. That's our show, everybody. Congrats to Austin Matthews. Nice to see the Leafs winning something in June.
Wow.
Yo, come on, man. I mean, it's funny.
That cuts deep.
I know, but still. I love Kenan Thompson.
That's so good.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, this is super interesting. So Quentin Tarantino has yet to announce what his follow-up to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be, but he still plans to retire from movie making after his 10th movie. His 10th movie will be his next movie.
Oh.
So what could that movie be? Or more importantly, what could that movie have been? So reports surface that Tarantino wanted to continue the Django Unchained universe.
What?
By doing a crossover Django and Zorro.
Hold on. Excuse me now.
Okay. So what he wanted to do. So he hired a guy named Jared Carmichael, comedian, to write the script. And he even went to, and this is in 2020, okay, he went to Antonio Banderas to ask Antonio Banderas if he would do Zorro in his movie. And Banderas was like, of course I would.
Really?
So, because this
is... But did Banderas know, like, it was going to be a crossover with Django?
Yes, because he's like, listen, I will do that with Tarantino. I would not do that with anybody else.
Sure.
You know, I have no desire to go back and do Zorro, but if you tell me it's Zorro and Django, and we go on this great adventure
Tarantino,
together, and it's Tarantino.
Who's got the clout.
Thank you. Like, sure. you know he's going to do that. Unfortunately, though, the project appears to be a casualty of the pandemic, with that writer Carmichael recently telling GQ that the Django Zorro is no longer happening. A specific reason for the project's death was not given, although he made it seem that perhaps it was too ambitious to get off the ground. So that 10th movie could have been Django Zorro with Jamie Foxx and Antonio Banderas.
Do you think he's really going to hang it up?
He's been saying that forever.
Yeah.
He's been saying forever that he was going to do 10 movies. Huh. Because I think there was some other famous director who did 10 movies that he idolizes, and then he just walked away. And I think that he just wants to sort of be a boss that way.
Oh, okay.
And just do, you know, his 10 films, and then he's going
to
see
him do like a part two of Reservoir Dogs.
Do you do? They're all dead.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, one
they're
of them,
all dead.
One of them wasn't dead comes up from, like, Mr. Pink comes up from, you know, he wakes up on the ground.
They're all wakes up on the ground, what, 25 years later?
Like, he was still there?
No, like, you come up on the screen, like,
2 hours later or something like that.
Two.
After getting shot, man?
Bro, that is the one movie. I would say that if you're going to do any sort of sequel to a Tarantino movie, you can't do Reservoir Dogs. No. All dead.
Like the sons of Reservoir Dogs? Like the Reservoir Pups?
That would be good.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kim Kardashian on with, who was it, Fallon last night?
Yes, sir.
Talking about her relationship with Pete Davidson and the one thing that they bonded over more than anything else.
Does Pete give any input on the skincare? I think he has a good skincare routine.
That's like one of the reasons why. That's like one of our major bonding things.
Skincare?
We go to dermatologists together. We inject our pimples together at the same time. Yeah, the dermatologist is like, is this contagious? You guys always have pimples at the same time.
That's how in tune you guys are.
Like, I knew that's it was really special bonding. When I fell asleep and I kept on talking about all night, like, oh my God, I have this pimple. Don't let me fall asleep. I have to put pimple medicine on it before I go to sleep. Fell asleep, forgot, woke up in the morning with dried pimple medicine on my face.
He put it on
in my sleep.
The gentleman. Oh my
Such
God.
A gentleman.
Isn't everybody else so romantic?
No, gross.
Has Kat ever put pimple cream on you?
No, because I don't. I used to think that I used to think when I was young that pimples were like contagious. Like if you kissed somebody that had a pimple, that you would get a pimple. Like if their pimple touched you, you would get a pimple. Really? It's not true though, is it? Am I wrong?
No, it's not.
It's not, right? Like their pimple would have to explode and then fill one of your pores. Right?
That's so good.
Right?
I'm picturing it right now.
I guess maybe that could happen, right? If it was like a direct hit.
Michelle's face.
If it was a direct hit.
Do you know how precise that would have to be?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
For it to get like right into the
it has to
get into like the right pore.
Yeah.
No, but it could hit your face and then dribble down into a pore.
No. It would have to be inserted, right? Like you would need force to get it in there, right? Like aggressive kissing,
uh-huh.
Right? Cheek to cheek, pimple, right? Explodes.
But then that would have pimple to be that would be a lot pore. Of force.
That would be a lot
for,
of force.
For like a cheek.
Yes.
To bust a pimple on another
It doesn't even have to be kids. What if you guys are cuddling and a pimple touches your skin?
I never said I was a light kisser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But that's, I used to think that if you touch a pimple, you'd get a pimple. Because that's what you used to grow, that when you grew up, that's what you thought about warts, right?
Sure. Oh, totally.
Right? You always thought that about warts. Yeah, like if a kid had a wart. Yes. Right? You know, nobody wanted to share a juice box with a kid with a wart.
Right?
And then you grow up and you realize, hey, it's no big deal, right? We're going to get exposed to a lot of other stuff. But I remember, and then I thought that warts and pimples are the same thing. Ugh. Don't touch them, right? Not that I was going around touching people's pimples.
Or warts.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.